We're reading Canto 1, Chapter 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is the source of all incarnations, text 40, page 191 here. I don't know what it is here. Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Puranam Brahma Samhita.
Puranam Brahma Samhita.
Puranam Brahma Samhita.
Puranam Brahma Samhita.
Dhamma Shloka Charita.
Dhamma Shloka Charita.
Dhamma Shloka Charita.
Dhamma Shloka Charita.
Sakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Sakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Chakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Chakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Nireshyasyaya
Lokasya. Nireshyasyaya
Lokasya. Nishreyasya Sasya Lokasya.
Nishreyasya Lokasya.
Danyam Sasyaya Ayam Mahat.
Danyam
Sasyaya Ayam Mahat.
Danyam Sasyaya Ayam Mahat.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Puranam Brahma Samhita.
Puranam Brahma Samhita.
Dhamma Shloka Charita.
Dhamma Shloka Charita.
Sakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Sakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Nishreyasaya Lokasya.
Nishreyasaya Lokasya.
Danyam Svasyaya Namaha.
Danyam Svasyaya Namaha.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Puranam Brahma Samhitam.
Puranam Brahma Samhitam.
Uttama Shloka Charitam.
Uttama Shloka Charitam.
Sakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Sakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Nishreya Shalokasya.
Nishreya Saya Lokasya.
Danyam Swasyane. Danyam Swasyane. Ayanam Mahat.
Danyam Swastya Ayanam Mahat.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Puranam Brahma Samhitam.
Puranam Brahma Samhitam.
Uttama Shloka Charitam.
Uttama Shloka Charitam.
Chakara Bhagavan Rishi.
Chakara Bhagavan Rishi. Nishreya Saya Lokasya.
Danam Svasya Namaha.
Danam Svasya Yanamahat. Very good.
Idam.
This.
Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam. Book containing the narration of the personality of God and his pure devotees.
Containing the narration of the personality of God and his pure devotees.
Nama,
Nama,
of the name,
of the name.
Purana,
Purana,
supplementary to the Vedas,
Supplementary to the Vedas.
Ramasamitam,
Ramasamitam,
incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna,
Nama
Shloka,
the
personality of Godhead,
Paritam,
activities,
Sakara,
compiled.
Bhagavan,
incarnation of the personality of Godhead.
Incarnation of the personality of Godhead.
Rishi,
Shri
Vyasadev.
Nishreyasaya,
for the ultimate good.
For the ultimate good.
Lokasya,
Lokasya,
of all people. Danyam, fully successful.
Fully successful.
Swasti Ayanam,
Swasti Ayanam,
all blissful. Mahat, all perfect. Translation and third poet by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Srila Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God and is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people. It is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. Responsibly. The Srimad
Bhagavatam
is the literary incarnation of God.
It
is compiled by Srila
Vyasadeva.
The incarnation of God.
It
is meant for the ultimate good
of
all people.
And
it is all successful, all blissful,
and
all perfect. Report, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history. There are selected mysteries of great devotees who are in direct contact with the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam's literary incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna is therefore non-different from him. Srimad Bhagavatam should be worshipped as respectfully as we worship the Lord. Thereby we can derive the ultimate blessings of the Lord through its careful and patient study. As God is all light, all bliss, and all quest, and all perfection, so also is Srimad Bhagavatam. We can have all the transcendental light of the Supreme Brahman, Sri Krishna, from the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, provided it is received through the medium of the transparent spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya's private secretary, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, advised all intending visitors who came to see the Lord in Puri to make a study of the Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavatam is the self-realized, bona fide spiritual master, and through him only can one understand the lessons of the Bhagavatam in order to receive the desired result. One can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. It carries with it all the transcendental blessings of Lord Sri Krishna that we can expect from his personal contact. Vijnana Tiviranda Syajara Gyasalakayam Chaksusimiritam Jaina Paraswari Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Shapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayamukhara Mahindirati Shapanatikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Vidaha Shri Vasani Gola Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is why, one, just external reason, we keep the book. We don't put it on the floor, touch it to our feet, because we consider this as the directly Krishna. And that Krishna book I gave you also, that's actually part of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. So also you should respect it like that. Don't bring it into the toilet. Don't put it on the floor. Touch it to your feet. This is the respect that we show. Because we consider this as non-different as the words spoken by the Lord. Morning. So, how is it that it's not different Krishna? Because it's called Shabda Brahman. It's a spiritual sound. Just like we say Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also not different than Krishna. But it has to be, you can say, taken in the right spirit of devotion. Otherwise, it'll be just like alphabet. So that depends on the qualification of the listener or the reader. But the potency is there. So by reading it, we'll also become qualified. It's not that we first of all have to become a book, a person Bhagavatam. Here Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport about the person Bhagavatam, the pure devotee, like on the level that Srila Prabhupada was. So we don't have to be at that level to get benefit from the Bhagavatam. But we should have explained to us by such a person. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's purports are important to us. Purport is explanation. So the verse is there, but the explanation is just as important. We consider it just as sacred. Because it's being given by the person Bhagavatam, who is fully realized. So then we can also benefit by hearing. And not only hearing, but following the instruction. Bhagavatam says, for instance, Bhagavatam says, don't have illicit sex. So, if we accept that instruction and we can follow it, then it will purify us. Otherwise, the whole world is full of illicit sex, inviting everybody to come, have illicit sex. This is the nature of the material world. It's contaminated. But we can purify ourselves. We can come out of that contamination. We're not saying that we're free from contamination completely, but we can point people to those who are free. Krishna is free. Krishna is a pure representative of Srila Prabhupada, free from any contamination. So we can direct people, come and hear. Now, we try to be free from at least the gross sinful life, such as illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meeting, we do claim to be free from those vices. So we can give some explanation. But still, ultimately, we're also students. And we are qualifying ourselves to enter into the kingdom of God. We don't claim to be there, but we are very confident that we're on the path that will bring us into the kingdom of God. And it's not a very difficult path. Anybody can join with us. It simply requires regular, submissive hearing, like we're doing right now. We're hearing from the person Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, his purports. We're hearing from Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami, the verses here. So it's not a very difficult process, but if it's done faithfully, regularly, there's another verse that says, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, it should be done daily. That's why we're happy to see you coming in the morning, because this is actually the best time to hear this message, because we're a little more open, or you can say, pure. Morning is before the three modes of nature. There's goodness, passion, and ignorance. So in the morning, there's more mood of goodness. Before the whole rush has started, people are rushing here and there. Of course, here in this culture, they do start early, rushing here and there. But still, there's a little sense that, well, before I have to do all my work, if I can devote some time in the morning for hearing this message, then it'll have more effect. This is the idea. And so we like to get up early. We chant Hare Krishna at that time. And we discuss these subjects. And then we have a foundation for the day. Because when we go out, naturally there's going to be opposing elements who are going to, create trouble if there's trouble from the living entities. We were discussing last night how we can't avoid. We like to think that we're free, but really we're conditioned. We're conditioned by our own mind and body. We're conditioned by the atmosphere we're in, sometimes too hot, too cold. We're conditioned by other living entities. They have influence on us. We can't just, no man is an island. We can't just say, oh, well, I don't care for anybody. No, we're social creatures. We have to be influenced by other living entities. So this is the reality. We're not saying that there's something outside of reality here. We should start from the ground. We want to make a strong foundation. Start in the morning. Then the day will be successful. Even there may be some setbacks, but because we have a strong foundation of spiritual sadhana means practice, then the day will be successful. At the end of the day, we can say, well, we've made some progress in the spiritual sense. And the same with our life. If we take up this Krishna consciousness when we're young, like you're all young, then the end of life will be successful. It will be a strong foundation. Most people are squandering their youth, playing sports and indulging in illicit activities and thinking this way they're happy. But then you see them at the end of life, because their whole life is centered around sense gratification, and in old age the sense gratification is reduced practically to nil, and therefore they're miserable. Sweet 16 and bitter 60s. But those who take up spiritual life and perform some austerity for understanding the subject matter, then old age no longer has its bitterness to it. It becomes a joyful time when one becomes more mature in knowledge and is able to explain the subject to others. And so it's a very satisfying age. That is generally we consider, well, the older person is wise. But in this culture, the youth is worshipped. And all people are considered funny daddies or something. I don't know how to put them in the old people's home. They can't tell us anything. They spoil their life. And it's true. They can't tell us much because they don't. Maybe you've read Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller. Disguised there, huh? The salesman died. He didn't know what was the purpose of life. He missed the real point. He was just making sales and always, had an appearance of being happy. But underneath, he was missing the ultimate issue. The ultimate issue is that there's a something, purpose of God, not just to eat and sleep and have sex and defend ourselves like animals, but we can make spiritual progress. And if we're making that progress, then we'll feel satisfied. We give the example of a train. We're on a train because the purpose of the train is to take us someplace. If we're just sitting in the station, we become restless. Because we want to go. So the human form of life is like that. It's not just meant to be to loiter here and enjoy senses, which are temporary. They're going to be finished. It's running through your fingers. But the real purpose is to make spiritual progress, which is eternal, which won't be taken from you. Therefore, those who are spiritually cognizant, they're not afraid of old age or death. It becomes something natural for them because they're basing their happiness on the spiritual side. Whereas those who base their happiness from something outside, this is going to be anxiety for them as they grow old. Your wife dies, something happens. And their future is not very bright because they don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. So it's good you're coming, taking this subject seriously. And of course, we're open for questions or comments. Anybody here? Anything, Carlos? That's good. Sometimes if you know if you're home, you're reading something, some of our literature, make a note if you have questions. And then, in other words, we're not looking for mass following. We're looking for thoughtful people who can pick up this process based on intelligence. Doesn't mean you have to give up your other things, but just add this Krishna consciousness. And you'll find that other things become easier to do. Just like Arjuna. He was in a quandary. He didn't want to fight. But when he heard Bhagavad Gita, accepted the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, then he became a better fighter. You don't have to become, you know, just do your material work callously. No, because that will also become part of your devotional service. That would be a way to make Krishna happy. It's like Arjuna was saying last night that we want to make Krishna happy. She was asking, that's the goal. And that is the goal. It's a very good realization. Most people don't come to that realization so quickly. But the real purpose of life is to please the Lord. And he can be pleased by using things in his service. So we don't say you should give up school and use that nicely, your education, whatever it is, but do it in a way that will be pleasing to the Lord. This is the theme of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, oh, you should give up your work. He said, no, work, but work in a spirit of devotion. And see, and then the question will be, how do we know if Krishna is pleased? But therefore, a spiritual master is required. So he can practically tell us. Therefore, my first consideration is how to please Srila Prabhupada. So I have a pretty clear idea of what's pleasing to him, because I did have a lot of association with him, and I've read his books over and over again, his conversations. Actually, there's 37 volumes of conversations that were recorded while he, in his room and so on, his talking. So there are many ways we can know what's pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. He wrote many letters to different devotees. They've all been compiled. He's given thousands of classes, just like we're giving class now. They've been recorded. So anyone can find out what is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And then we can have a clear idea of what will be pleasing to Krishna. The same idea that Lord Jesus said. If you want to please God, then you have to please me. That was really what he was saying. He wasn't saying he was God. He was saying, but if you see me, then you see God. Because he's the representative, the pure representative. So Srila Prabhupada was such a representative. And he was just here, you can say, in the very recent. So we can please him. If this is more readily available to us, pleasing him, we're going to say, well, God is far away. How do we know it's pleasing to God? And it's true. In the name of pleasing God, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. Jihad, we call it. And these terrorists, they're trying to please God by blowing themselves up. So we can say, well, God may be far away. But also we can know what's pleasing to Krishna if we read. We become acquainted with Krishna. What Krishna also says, the thing that's most pleasing to me is if you please my devotee. Prabhupada used to give the example of this rich man who had a dog. And then if somehow you please a dog, then a man would be pleased. Much Prabhupada was giving an example, and I objected. I said, Prabhupada, we don't like to hear that you compared to yourself to a dog. And so I said, no, Krishna's dog is not an ordinary dog. He said, no, otherwise the dog also has a good quality. They're very faithful. So, this is the process. We please the Lord, we're pleasing his representative. Then he's more pleased. And when he's more happy with us, then we can feel his reciprocation will come. We'll feel it in our heart. We'll feel that spiritual satisfaction. It's not something that, mechanical, but it'll become something tangible in our life. Just like we give the example of having a meal. You don't have to take a certificate or get a degree from somebody else that now you're full. You can experience it. So spiritual life is like that. Real spiritual life is directly perceivable, and it gives joy. It's joyfully performed. It gives direct perception of the self. Okay? Anyone else? Audrey? You can go out and take on a day, have a good day, and do your work nicely. Don't think, now I'm a high Krishna, I should neglect my schoolwork. Be a better student. Shabbat Shalom. Hare Krishna.